This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, by golly, all I can tell you is I had a relaxing weekend last week. Thank gosh! I know people, some people say, don't say God, but thank God. All right, I'll just say it. I'm just going to say it. Brian Moody on the line with us. He's the executive editor of Auto Trader, and he wants to talk about the new abnormal. Is that what you were saying, Brian? The new
abnormal? Dude, I hate that expression, by the way.
No, it's supposed to be the new normal, but I say it's the new abnormal.
Oh,
I know. You know, and it's like, here I am afraid to say God because it's not PC these days, you know. But I thank God for the fact that I have a wonderful life, and thank goodness that we are also, you know, coming hopefully to the end of some of this stuff with the sun shining and summer is upon us. And I don't think that this virus can live in the heat and the sun and the rest. But I call it the new abnormal because it's not normal. It's not ever going to be normal for all this stuff that we've been dealing with. And so the question is, and I think you and I just briefly, as we started the show before everybody heard us talking, was to talk about how much of this stuff is going to be around the stuff, some of the things that the auto dealers and auto manufacturers are having to do to entice us to buy again. How much is it going to be around once things do normalize again? I think they will.
This is what I think is that, a lot of these things were already headed this direction anyway, right?
Yeah.
They just needed like a jump start. So let me just give you a good example. So restaurants have, adapted across the country. It's the same across the country. And so in my town where I live, there's a couple of restaurants nearby, and we order food from there. You drive up, they put it in your car, and you drive away. I like that system. I hope they keep that system, because the system before was I call and I order, and then I go in and they say, go talk to the bartender, and the bartender acts like they're annoyed that I'm there, and I have to stand wedged between two chairs and then two guys drinking, and I don't really want to be there, and I don't like that system of going to the bar to pick up my to-go food. I don't like that.
Right.
If I never have to do that again, I'm happy.
Right.
I'll keep going to that restaurant and buy more stuff because I don't have to go to the bar. Same, I think, goes for the car dealers. If more people know, you know, I can just click a few boxes and, like, make them an offer, or maybe it's a one-price dealer, so there's no offering. Whatever it is, you just shop, click, hey, that's the car I want. I think more people are going to be into that, and I don't think that it has to go away, nor do I think it should go away.
Mm. So the funny thing to me is watching people drive with the face mask on with nobody else in the car.
Yeah, that's silly.
It makes no sense to me. What am I going to do, give myself? You know, it's like, oh, I can't take my mask off because I'm in the car with myself. It's me, myself, and I. All my personalities are here. So I don't know. I think that, you know, these people are making a statement. They're being incredibly cautious. And look, I am the guardian for my two elderly parents.
Right.
And I have not seen them other than on Facebook, FaceTime. And in, 7 weeks? Now, today, I got to take my dad over to get a little treatment over at the hospital. So it'll be the first time I'm going to spend time with him. And all this time, it's beautiful, sunny weather today. Am I going to wear a mask? You know, I'm going to have to give that some thought. I don't think I will. I work in an office by myself. You and I are 3,000 miles apart. I have 2,000 to 3,000 miles. I don't know how far we are, but it's a long way. So my whole world is digital, everything on the internet. So I'm not entirely worried about, you know, giving my dad anything other than a good sense of humor. Because
that's kind of my point.
Yeah.
Is that a lot of these things, like, I think what it's going to move from is doing some of these things, these safety measures or these separation measures, doing them out of a sake of safety. And then I think what's going to happen next is people will say, hey, wait a minute, this is actually more convenient. And that's the thing that makes processes and things stick around longer than they need to. I mean, if it's up to me, listen, I say go back to car hop service. I thought that was a great idea, and I'm sad that I missed it.
Right. I agree. And I think, too, that Most of these service businesses have forgot what service is, and they're going to be reacquainted with it again, or they are being, and they're going, oh, the missing link between business and making money, because I can own a business, but if I'm not getting any business, I'm also not making any money. All right, hang tight. Brian Moody's on the line, executive editor of autotrader.com, Auto Trader on the web. Great place to get information, buy or sell a car. This is The Drive. We'll be right back with more. Stay with us.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Well, thanks for joining us. This is The Drive all across America and around the world. Our show brought to you in part by Subaru and the new Outback. Go where love takes you. Love. That's what makes Subaru Subaru. Joining us now, right now, is my buddy Brian Moody, autotrader.com. And I played this song for you, by the way. Yeah, I did. Bonafide Lovin'. You know.
It's odd.
I know.
All right. I don't know what that says about me.
Bonafide Lovin'. All right. Listen, first of all, thank you. You always make me laugh, and it's important in my life. So we always talk about brand new cars, brand new cars, brand new cars. And, you know, it's fun testing cars and playing with cars. Sure. But at the end of the day, there's so many people. Like, as a matter of fact, my oldest son right now, 32 years old, has a one-year-old baby. He has one car. He's a realtor. So he's always out showing houses. And his wife is home with no car. What happens if there's an emergency? So he's looking for an affordable car. I said, just go buy a new one. Easy for me to say because, you know, that's where I'm at in my head. But he's like, no. I've got more like $5,000 or less to spend. And I was thinking about that. So, you know, Auto Trader is good for this type of a thing, really good at this. Sure. What do you got for used family sedan type vehicles under $5,000?
Well, let me give your son a little tip. This is what I got. Personally, I bought this for my young driver, and I think they're great cars. Tell him to look at the 2010 Hyundai Elantra Touring. It's a great car, great reliability, and I bought the one that I bought for $6,000 with 60,000 miles on it, just FYI.
Wow, that was a deal.
No, and it was clean inside. So Auto Trader, along those same lines, we come up with a list of the best family sedans that you can get for under $5,000. Most of these are around 2008 to 2010. Most of them are going to have 100,000 miles or around there. That's okay, as long as you get the right car. So the first one, believe it or not, a little bit of an oddball choice, but then we've already established that one of us is a little bit of an oddball. Well, maybe both, actually.
Right.
And that's the 2008 Subaru Legacy. It's a great car for around $5,000. Now, when we say around $5,000, don't be afraid to find one that's 55 or 6 or maybe even 62, depending on the mileage and equipment. But for $5,000, you're going to get an all-wheel drive sedan. You're going to get a reliable car. You're going to get, you know, one that look for one that was well cared for, but, you know, the fourth generation Legacy for about $5,000 is a great deal.
I couldn't agree more.
Along those same lines, 2008 Mazda 6, that's the big one, if I remember right. Or is it the one just before the big one?
No, I think the Mazda 6 is the biggest one they make other than SUVs. Yeah.
It's a good size sedan. It's a sporty sedan. And it's not, there's an in-between one that was less desirable. Again, look for that one for about $5,000. Same with the 2008 and maybe up to 2010 Ford Fusion. Ford Fusions are actually relatively good price used cars. Be sure to have the transmission checked out. That was one of the things that was an issue with those. Here's what I would do. I would stick with one of these three. This is my personal thing. And these are on the list too. 2008 to 2010, Honda Accord, Toyota Camry, or Nissan Altima. You can't go wrong with those three cars. They're reliable. They have nice equipment. They have comfortable seats. They're easy to work on. No one's going to look at your, you know, 09 Nissan Altima and say, oh, we don't have any parts for that. So if you stick to those kinds of cars, 2008 to 2010, Toyota Camry, Honda Accord, Nissan Altima, there's tons of those. In fact, right now there's over 400 Nissan Altimas from just 2008 for sale on Auto Trader as used cars. So, you know, you add a couple years and you have that's the thing is you have so much variety and so many to pick from. So those are my cars that I would say Auto Trader recommends for good used cars under $5,000, and those are sedans.
And I'll tell you something. I have a friend who's got a Nissan Altima that's got like 220,000 miles on it. And he goes, you know what? I can't kill this thing. He goes, I abuse it. I keep on using it. And it just keeps on going. And it's true.
Here's a trick that you can do. Yeah. When you're looking for cars for sale, and this is on Auto Trader, but people use lots of different things. Go up to the top and you can sort by oldest, newest, least expensive, or most expensive. But here's what I do. First, sort by highest mileage. And if you see a lot of cars of the one you're looking at, one for me was a Chevy Tahoe, that are in the 200, 250, 180,000 mile range, then you know probably it's going to be a good car, because the number of 230,000 mile Chevy Tahoes for sale on Auto Trader right now says to me those cars are going to last.
Right. You're right. And here's the funny part is that, you know, they're a nice machine. Both the ones, you're talking about what you were looking for. And I see them all the time. So if you can buy one with 100,000 miles, you know that you're only at less than half of its lifespan. So that's good point. Good point. All right. Let's take a little break. When we come back, we're going to talk about, well, people like me. I can afford a 2020, but what about the certified pre-owned programs that are available for this year to maybe get a one-year-old or two-year-old vehicle that's certified pre-owned? We're talking with Brian Moody from autotrader.com. He's got all the information. We'll be right back. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And our show is brought to you in part by Dodge, and they've got so many good deals going on. You know, the whole Power Dollars thing. Check out a Dodge dealer near you. You know, what's interesting about how we were talking about this whole new abnormal way of doing things. Everybody that is in the car industry is having to kind of bend over backwards right now. And truthfully, let's hope that's the new normal, is that they go back to the service industry, because that, at the end of the day, when you're buying a car, it is the largest purchase you make outside of your home pretty much in your life. I mean, you might buy a big fancy boat, or maybe you're going to buy an airplane or a jet, God knows what. But for the average person, the car is the next biggest purchase you make. What happened to the service industry? Well, they're pulling it out of the mothballs right now. Anyway,
it's
Brian,
revamping.
There you go. Brian Moody joining us, autotrader.com. All right. So certified pre-owned programs. First of all, let's explain what that is just in case somebody doesn't know.
Well, a certified pre-owned car is essentially a used car, but they're generally speaking lightly used cars with less than, let's say, 60,000 miles. They're usually newer than 5 years, and it's inspected by and upgraded or repaired if necessary by the manufacturer or a manufacturer program with trained technicians, and then they sell it with a warranty. So you get anybody who buys a used car gets the remainder of the new car warranty. So if you sold me a two-year-old Honda, I'm going to get the remainder of the new car warranty. So that is almost the case across the board. There are some exceptions, though. But a certified car gives you a longer warranty and gives you perks that you might get with a new car, such as special financing, roadside assistance, free maintenance for the first two visits, those kinds of things.
Yeah. Interesting story. A good friend of mine recently bought I think it was about a four-year-old BMW 5 Series. So it's that bigger, midsize kind of, you know, sedan, very, very popular machine. BMW, you know, very good engineering. But all cars are mechanical things and they will break down.
Right.
So he went in and it was a certified pre-owned. And I don't know how far they go. In other words, is it 4 years, is it cut off or whatever? But this was probably right on the edge. It had 40,000 miles, which was relatively low miles. And they were offering a, I think it was a 12-month, 12,000-mile warranty with it. So it would have taken it out to 52,000 or something miles. Uh-huh. And 1 year. And so the guy was really interested. He sends me a note. He says, what do you think of this one? And I'm like, yeah, that's a pretty nice car, man. That's a good price. It was like 20 grand. Those things are like, you know, 60 grand new, fully loaded.
Sure.
So when he started it, though, he saw a puff of smoke. And he's like, now that ain't right, because it was cold. And here's a little trick. When you start a car cold, if the valve guide seals or if anything's going south, you might say, that little puff of blue smoke means oil burning. So anyway, he was smart enough to know that because he was a car guy. We've been playing with cars for years. He saw that and he said to the guy, you know, I like this car, but I'm still worried about that little puff of blue smoke when it first started. So they said, well, you're going to have 12 months, 12,000 miles. So he calls me back and he goes, what do you think? And I go, first of all, BMWs, you know, they're fantastic cars, but when they break down, they cost more to fix. I said, you need to tell them to give you a longer warranty with it. So what happens? He ends up making a deal, and he ended up getting a four-year, 48,000-mile warranty with it, included with the deal. And what do you think happened at about a year? The valve guide seals were going bad, and they were really bad, and it was going to cost like $6,000 to pull the heads off, fully covered under the warranty. So you can negotiate with these car companies when you're in there buying a certified pre-owned. If you have certain concerns, don't be afraid to say, hey, listen, I'll do the deal if you throw in a little longer, you know, warranty with it. Anyway, that's my spiel on that.
Right. And be sure to, there's a difference between breakdown insurance and a certified warranty. So there's two that we actually gave an award this year to, the two programs we think are the best luxury program and the best non-luxury program. So the non-luxury is Hyundai. Their CPO program is amazing, and it's one of those ones that's an exception. Remember I was saying, if I bought a Hyundai from you, you a private party, I do not get the remainder of the 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Mm. That reverts to 60,000 miles.
Mm.
Unless you buy a certified pre-owned, right? Then you get the remainder of the 100,000-mile warranty, and then on, that's 10 years or 100,000 miles. That's pretty spectacular. On top of that, they give you roadside assistance. They give you breakdown protection. There's a small deductible for, you know, covered repairs, that kind of thing. Hyundai, it has by far the best, you know, whatever remains of the 5-year, 60,000-mile bumper-to-bumper limited warranty, you still get that.
Mm-hmm.
Hyundais are reasonably priced. So here's the best luxury program, and you're not going to believe this. It's Lexus. Well, and why do we pick Lexus? Do you know that Lexus basically adds 2 years to the new car warranty? And what do you think the Lexus mileage limit is for a total of 6 years? So the initial new car warranty is 4 years or 50,000 miles. They add 2 years, or how many miles do you suppose they add to that? What's your guess?
I don't know, but I'm guessing it's pretty darn good.
Unlimited.
Oh, really? Wow, now that's saying something. Yeah.
Is that just me, or is that a company saying, like, that's a throw down the gauntlet kind of thing? Boom, here's how good we say our cars are. Challenge
okay,
us.
They win. You're right. That's unheard of. I need one more little segment with you because we've got one more thing to talk about. You guys can find these stories at autotrader.com. Best certified pre-owned program, CPO, certified pre-owned program for 2020. At autotrader.com. Used family sedans under $5,000 at autotrader.com. And when we come back, we're going to have one more segment with Brian Moody, executive editor. This is The Drive. Don't go anywhere.
I'm shuffling through the Texas sand, but my head's in Mississippi.
Hear that? It's time for Dodge Power Dollars on Dodge Charger and Challenger, where you get $10 off per horsepower. So you can enjoy the sweet sounds of Dodge Charger RT Scat Pack's 485 horsepower and get $4,850 off. Or take it up a notch with Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye 797 horsepower and get $7,970 off. So come in for Dodge Power Dollars and get a great deal. Offer not available on leases. See dealer for details.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
And our show brought to you in part by Brembo, the choice of champions. Brembo brakes. You can find them and buy them at buybrembo.com. Brian Moody joining us still from Auto Trader, autotrader.com. I know you wanted to talk about the next iconic vehicle from the modern era, and I'm dying to know what that is. See, he sends me a little note of a couple of things he wants to talk about, and I'm like, oh, what could it be, pray tell?
Well, you know how there's these cars that are like, let's just say the 57 Chevy, the 65 Mustang, the Land Rover Defender 90. Like, there's just these iconic things that, like, people... And they don't have to be rare. Like, I wasn't alive then, but as far as I understand, a 57 Chevy was very common.
Right.
So it's not always rarity that makes these things. So I have a theory. Here's the two things that makes these types of vehicles just stand out. And I'll give you the perfect example. The 84 to 2001 Jeep Cherokee, the boxy one, right?
Right.
What's so special about that? Were they rare?
Know. My no. kids love them to
Were they
death.
Better?
Yeah.
But here's the next one. I think it's a combination of two things: charm and virtual indestructibility. Mm. Based on that and the length of years they've been making these, I say the next iconic vehicle to come, like, say, 5 to 6 years from now, is the Nissan Frontier pickup.
Oh.
The one that's been around forever.
Are you kidding?
I'm telling you, they're small. It's like a throwback. When you get inside, you think, is this a new car? Now, there's going to be a new 2021 Nissan Frontier, and when that happens, I think it's going to be a few years before people look back and go, you know what, that Frontier that people had in 2010 or whatever it was, those are really cool. It's charming, it's old, and they're virtually indestructible, and I think that's going to make it. And by the way, I stole this idea from one of our writers, this guy Andrew Gantz. You know Andrew Gantz?
I do, yeah.
He's a great guy. Okay, so he wrote this. He does a great job, and I actually agree with him. I think the Frontier is going to be the next thing like Jeep Cherokee. Were they rare? No. Were they great to drive on the road? No. What's special about them? They're charming, and they're virtually indestructible. And when you put those two things together, Volvo 240, FYI, I think the Nissan Frontier is going to be that.
It's so funny you're saying that, because there's a Nissan Frontier four-door, four-wheel drive, like Pro X version, whatever it is, with the little built-in roof rack from the factory. It's black. It's sitting on the corner about a block down the street from me. And every time I turn the corner, I see that truck. I don't know why it hasn't sold. Of course, you know, people aren't spending much money right now, so there it sits. But every time it calls
Probably
out to
like
me.
$3,000.
But now I'm going to go find out. The other funny thing is, and you could be right, they're just, the word charming, they have charm.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing you just brought up. And my buddy, the same guy I was just telling you earlier about the certified pre-owned cars, that same guy, when we were growing up together, I think one of his very first vehicles was a Datsun pickup. And the Datsun pickup, we used to joke around and called it his Datsurati, like Maserati. He'd say, what do you want to take, your car or my Datsurati? I just think that's so funny, because those, even those old ones, you know, from the early 70s, they have a certain amount of charm.
Yeah.
And they're coming along really well. So it's kind
King
of
King Cab.
Yeah, exactly right. The King Cab. Oh, that's too funny. All right, Brian Moody, thank you, sir.
Yep.
You're a gentleman, and you've got charm. Yeah, that's it.
I went to state college.
Executive editor of Auto Trader, autotrader.com. You can find all these stories there and a whole lot more. I'm Alan Taylor. He's Brian Moody. Coming up next, BJ Killeen. Fun stuff. Charm. That's my word of the day. We'll be right back. If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever, the 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Automotive, nothing. Television, nothing. Okay, I do a little bit of radio still. All right, I'll take it. BJ Colleen joining us right now. Man, the world is really weird right now. I don't even know what to tell you, but the sun is shining. At least the sun is shining, thank goodness. And maybe that'll kill this crazy virus off. And we can revisit it later when the bad weather comes back. And I think that's kind of normal. It's called the flu season. But anyway, BJ Colleen, voice of reason in my crazy world, automotive journalist, expert, and all things. The last time... Let's see. I know you want to talk about Volkswagen Atlas, but it seems like the last time we drove together, or nearly the last time, it was, gosh, probably 6, 8, 9, 10 months ago, we were together in a Volkswagen Atlas. What, do you got something new?
Man, I think it was longer than that, Alan. It might even be like a year and a half ago.
Well, I've got a little COVID-19 coming on, so maybe I'm not having a good good memory or something.
I hope not. But do you remember where it was? Was it in California?
I remember going over a bridge and there being a golf course, but that's kind of all the events we go to.
You know? Yes, they start to run together. I know, it's terrible. But yes, you're right. We drove the new full-size VW Atlas, and I remember we both really liked it, and yep, it's doing really well. It has tons of awards, and people are buying it, which is a good thing. But this vehicle I'm talking about today is the Atlas Cross Sport. So what they did is they took the Atlas and they made it a 5-passenger vehicle. So, the regular Atlas is, 7 or 8 passengers? It's a full size. So they kind of shrunk this one. Honey, I Shrunk the Atlas, is the best way to put it.
Oh, it's Seinfeld's version of shrinkage. I get it.
I'm not going there.
Okay.
So, I guess everybody said, hey, we like this Atlas. It's just a little too big. Do you have a smaller one? So Volkswagen said, okay, we'll make you something smaller. So they came up with the Atlas Cross Sport, is what they're calling it. And it's a 5-passenger vehicle. It's actually the same wheelbase as the full-size Atlas. I think it's around 119 inches or something like that. But so it's big, but they just took away a row of seats, which gave them a little bit more storage area. And they made it a little bit shorter to overall length. So, but you know what? It's got so much room inside. So it's kind of a smart idea that they did this. So they just actually took all that extra room that they had and made a lot more legroom in the front and definitely more legroom in the second row. I mean, it's almost like an executive SUV in the back row. There's that much room. So it's pretty impressive overall.
It's interesting. A lot of times they'll take a 5-passenger vehicle and then they'll stretch it out and cram an extra pair of seats in the very, very back. And this time they kind of did the opposite. They kept the same wheelbase you're talking about. The overall length of the vehicle is a little shorter, but that just made everything more roomy inside. So I get that. That's cool.
Yeah, actually it is. It's pretty impressive that they did that. It's interesting because they have two engine choices on the lineup. They've got a 2-liter turbocharged 4-cylinder. And that one makes 235 horsepower and 258 pound-feet of torque. But I stepped it up, or they stepped it up for me, and gave me the CrossSport V6 SE with technology. Mm. And Volkswagen, they love their long names, no doubt about it.
Right.
But that 3.6, it's naturally aspirated. It is the VR6 engine, and it's 276 horsepower and 266 pound-feet of torque. Mm. So it's pretty decent. They made it to an 8-speed automatic with Tiptronic. Again, that's the shift it yourself. So overall, it's a nice looking vehicle. We know that the regular Atlas looks good. This looks just as good, just it's a little squattier in the back. There's actually really impressive visibility. That's one of the things I think we liked about the Atlas, and that doesn't change in this vehicle. You can really see all the way around the vehicle, which for a lot of people is peace of mind to have a good greenhouse area. It sits kind of high. When you look at it, you're like, man, this is a big vehicle. But it doesn't drive like a big vehicle. It's got really good power, especially the V6. I can't say for the 2-liter turbo because I didn't drive it. But the V6 actually has pretty good power.
Let me jump in. You said a couple of things there that I like to try to explain to people that we use language a lot of times that people are like, what does that mean, right? So one was naturally aspirated. And that's one of those things, it just blows right over your head a lot of times. That means that the vehicle does not have a turbocharger or a supercharger on it. So it's not like, dare I say, blown, because they could say, oh, it's got a blown, you know, whatever it is in it. And that's like gearhead talk. Naturally aspirated means that it's, you know, not turbo or supercharged. So the other one, which it was, I thought was kind of fun, is Tiptronic. A lot of people don't know. I used to think Tiptronic was vehicle manufacturer specific to like Porsche or, you know, German car companies. But Tiptronic, and it very well may be, but it is the ability to shift with little paddle shifters like F1 paddle shifters on the steering wheel, and or they sometimes give you the option of doing it with a click shift on the gear shifter in between the seats. The other one you used, which I know this one's going to really blow people away, which was squatty. That's when your butt's really close to the ground. But anyway, go ahead.
That's funny. But, you know, you're right. I get so used to just talking, and I'm hoping that we're talking to enthusiasts, but you're right. Thank you for clearing that up.
No, it's just fun stuff, right?
You're absolutely right. But when you think about naturally aspirated, aspire, you know, aspirate is to breathe. So yeah, that's what we're talking about. It doesn't use anything artificial to help it breathe. It's just a regular engine.
See, now you just taught me something, by the way, because I didn't know that's where that came from. It's aspirate, beautiful. Yeah.
Aspirate, it's all about breathing. Tiptronic, you're right. That is, Tiptronic actually is registered to Volkswagen and Porsche.
Ah.
You use Tiptronic when you're talking about other vehicles that have their own Shiftronics or right, whatever they call it.
Yep.
But that is.
But you know, it's like Kleenex. It's like we get so marketed to that we start to think that tissue is Kleenex, but Kleenex is a brand. Like Tiptronic belongs to a brand. Interesting, huh?
And I'll tell you a little story about Tiptronic. Back in the Motor Trend days, when I started off as assistant managing editor before I moved into the road test editor position, we wrote Tiptronic, but we put it on another car, and we got a letter from Porsche, and it said, "You're not allowed to do that. It belongs to us." And it's like, okay, you learned the hard way. That one is right. The word styrofoam will always be capitalized because I put it in there lowercase, and I got a letter from the styrofoam people.
Wait a minute. What are you talking about? Styrofoam is not just styrofoam. It actually is a brand thing, right? Just like Kleenex.
Styrofoam is a brand name. That is correct.
Okay, but here's the weirdest one for me was, you know, I have a hot tub, and it's a jacuzzi, and you and I have a mutual friend named Joe Jacuzzi, whose family actually invented the jacuzzi, and it's their family name. But you don't know that. We just, because we use Kleenex, and every tissue is a Kleenex. Bizarre. This is all marketing stuff, people. That's how gullible we are. But continue on about the Volkswagen Atlas.
You're right. Okay, so it does have Tiptronic, which means you're allowed to shift for yourself. It's got the paddle shifters, and it's kind of fun. A lot of good things about this vehicle. It's got a very smooth ride. It's pretty quiet. It has 20-inch tires on the trim level I had.
Yeah.
So you would think, you know, and in rougher surfaces, there is a little bit of tire noise, but it's not bad. There is no wind noise to speak of. It was really impressive.
How much money are these, though, really? I'm just curious, because I talked a friend of mine into buying the Atlas 7 passenger because he has kids and he loves it. And when he told me what he paid for it, this was about a year ago, I thought, man, that was a bargain for considering what these SUVs are bringing these days.
Well, the CrossSport 2.0 turbocharged starts at $30,000. The model I had started at $39,000. But if you go all the way to the top of the line and don't laugh, I think there's 18 different trim levels of the way the Volkswagen builds it out.
Right.
The V6 SEL Premium R line with 4Motion, which is their all-wheel drive system, starts at $49,000.
See what I mean? So that's interesting how you can go from $30,000 to $50,000 real quick, depending on how many gadgets you want. And hopefully in the next segment, we got about 30, we've got about a minute here, but hopefully in the next segment, we can talk about technology, because lately I'm starting to deal with more and more technology that's 20 years old almost. That at the time they were like bragging about, they were the best at this and best at that. And all of a sudden it's not so much best anymore. It's actually, yikes, the worst. But that's old technology. All right, so what was the one thing you didn't like about this vehicle, the Volkswagen Atlas CrossSport?
There are a couple of things I'll go through real quick. For this price, there was no nav system, which bothered the heck out of me. It could have used auto hold. It did not have paddle shifters. It had the shift, so it could have used paddle holders. The one thing I did the voice-activated command, and it told me to talk quieter.
Oh.
It said it couldn't understand me, and it did like three times. I'm like, I'm not used to getting sassed by the voice activation, So they need to work on that a little bit. But for the most part, it's a pretty decent option, except it's for me to talk quiet. It's not like it's the first time I've ever heard
that. That is so funny. But you're not supposed to say, hey, oh, I think they're going to beep that out. But anyway, evidently a pretty nice vehicle, the VW Atlas Cross Sport 5-passenger now. Check it out at a Volkswagen dealer near you. We'll be right back. It is The Drive.
If the sky comes falling down for you, there's nothing in this world I wouldn't do.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Voice of reason and brilliance in my life, automotive journalist, my friend BJ Colleen. And that last, I swore. I know I said something nasty. I've never had a car tell me to speak more quietly. That would probably freak me out. What's that?
It wasn't even that polite. He didn't say, please speak, you know, or excuse me, or try it again. What do I say? The Range Rover says, I'm sorry, I didn't get that. Could you please repeat it? You know, very British. And right, this one's just like, talk quieter. It's like, okay.
Oh my
gosh. And I tried it 3 or 4 times and it kept saying that. So it's like, I was getting mad.
Well, it's like one of those tricks you can, you know, ask Siri on your iPhone certain things and the answer that she gives you they're preloaded as, like, I remember, gosh, it was probably, oh, I don't know, 5, 6 years ago, a friend of mine says, ask Siri what you should do with a dead body. Yeah. And Siri would say, you should probably take it to the nearest dump and dig a big hole and dump it in. And it was like, what?
You can have a lot of fun with Siri, you know, because of all the pre-program. You could ask her to tell you a joke,
yeah,
and what's her favorite team, what's her birthday, and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of fun. Funny. But you're right. That absolutely leads into a discussion about technology. And as we work into AI and we work into autonomous vehicles, you know, what's going to happen here? Is the technology outdistancing what people can do as far as, you know, being somewhat in control, as far as also being able to afford to fix a car that's got this kind of technology, yeah, on it? What were you telling me about your Mercedes?
Well, so my dad has a 2002 CLK 320, which is kind of that 4-seat Mercedes convertible. And it's not a very expensive car. The whole car is only worth like $5,000 or $6,000. It's got like 65,000 miles. A really nice little car. My dad's 92 years old. He hadn't even driven in a year. So I thought, well, I better get it out of the garage and go take it for a drive. And so I put the top down and the top didn't want to go down. It was like, it went up halfway and then it was like, not gonna. And I'm like pulling the button, pushing the button, you know, up, down, back, forth. No, it's not going to do anything. So I forced it down into the hole. Now, if you've seen these older Mercedes like this, it's a mechanical ballet. The trunk lid tips the wrong direction. Like, you know how when you're behind the car and you open it? Well, it tips the actual opposite direction and a little lid flips up and the little flappers close and the top goes down in this compartment and it all closes back up real nice and neat. And you're like, wow, that was cool, until it doesn't work. So on top of that, these older cars, 2002, they have this like rollover restraint system where it has roll bars that pop up, right? So I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to be forcing this thing. I could get catapulted off the back of it, you know? So I thought I better take it to the mechanic. So I forced it down in its little hole there. But then when I pushed everything down, it went down. I forced it down. Yes, I kind of jumped on a little bit. But the latch didn't want to latch. So I thought, well, if I'm going down the freeway and this thing opens up the wrong direction to where the trunk lid opens from the front where it would touch the back window, if you know what I'm saying, it would be like, yeah, a parachute. So the guy says to me, yeah, this could be really expensive to fix. Now, I got a $5,000 or $6,000 car. We're talking about that rollover restraint system and the top not going down. That's going to cost $5,000 or $6,000 bucks to fix. I was like, well, just keep it. You know, You can have it. It's not worth fixing.
Absolutely right.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of those things are done with servo motors. And I forgot, was it Mercedes a while ago? Somebody was saying that the top operation was 22 servo motors to bring the top down.
Bad.
So it's like, you know, they have to offer free maintenance and a long warranty just to cover some of this technology, because it's absolutely ridiculous. Everything is power operated now. Just think about it. You know, the new Chrysler minivans have power operated side doors, and you've got power operated trunks. And
right.
You've got all these technology things that could go wrong. And luckily, everybody's doing a really good job. But, you know, these cars with all this technology haven't been around long enough, you know, 10 years, 20 years with all this new driver assistance features to see what's going to happen here. So I don't know. It's,
you know, it's crazy, funny. I have a 2011 R class, which is like a station wagon, 7-passenger. And to their credit, Mercedes-Benz, I took it in and they replaced the passenger and driver airbag for me under warranty. And this is, we're talking about a 9-year-old vehicle. So I think that that is going to be what's next. I know you wanted to talk about the air scarf that Mercedes has and some other things, and they've had that for a while. But the real important thing is when you buy a used vehicle that's 10 years old or older, really do not forget about the warranty. The aftermarket warranties are very, very important, because you can spend the value of the vehicle fixing some of these silly things that are designed to give you comfort and safety. Anyway.
You know, real quickly before we close, the J.D. Power initial quality study, they're redesigning it for 2020 to include greater insights from owners about new automotive technology. So
beautiful.
We're all on the same track.
Yep. BJ Colleen, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Alan.
I've got another hour to go. This is The Drive. Thank you for hanging with us. If you love cars like us, you're on the right spot on the dial. See you in a few minutes. Things that you might have done, only the good die. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track, as well as drivers like you and me on the street, for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BremboStoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE-equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BremboStoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, as you know, I have been not happy about having to sequestered to my shop. So I had to clean out my shop, and today it's getting drywalled, and I'm making my man cave. But the guy that I'm modeling it after is Richard Rawlings from Fast and Loud and Gas Monkey Garage, who happens to be on the line right now. Richard, I don't have the square footage you do, but I'm going to model my shop after yours. How you doing, Bo?
Man, I am, you know, just down here in Texas enjoying the heat of the summer, which it's supposed to be spring.
Yep.
And, you know, doing a little remodeling ourselves, you know, cleaning up. We don't get a lot of downtime.
I know.
So it's given us an opportunity to go find all the stuff we have on our shelves and get it listed on the old interwebs there, and hopefully help people that are stuck at home with their projects that they were never going to get to, and now they have nothing else to do.
Well, exactly. I built a shop 5 years ago and never drywalled it. So it was just kind of, you know, kind of that unfinished look. And I really want it to be a man cave, you know? So I finally took everything out. I steam cleaned the freaking walls. Everybody's like, why are you doing that? I'm like, I want this thing to be brand new again. It's like dust and cobwebs all over everything. So actually the drywallers are there right now, but it's kind of, for me, it's been a good time. If you take all the negative garbage out about people dying and all that, that's a bummer. I know that. But the reality is that I've had time to do stuff I haven't ever had to do in the last 25 years. So I'm kind of okay with it in some ways.
I get it. And since we're good friends, I'll go ahead and bust your chops on this one. I'll come over, and once I'm in the shop, it will officially be a man cave.
Oh, there you go. It's so funny. I had a boat in there I bought 14 years ago, a really nice Mastercraft kind of boat. And my son-in-law wanted to buy it, and he's like, he goes, I want to buy your boat. I'm like, no way, I'm never selling it. I got a wild hair one day, and I just put it on Facebook Marketplace, and bam, like 1 hour, it was gone. He calls me up, and he goes, hey, I thought you didn't want to sell the boat. I go, yeah, I did. I already sold it. It's done. He goes, wait a minute, I wanted to buy it. So, yeah, fist fights almost started. Let me tell you, when I'm ready, I'm ready. I'm going. So speaking of being ready, you guys just wrapped on another season of Fast and Loud. And
we were real lucky. We got it in the can before COVID. And so now all production on almost all shows have stopped unless you're able to stay in one place and film it with an iPhone.
Right.
So in that regard, we were lucky. And so we just finished 10 episodes. I think there's one more clip show coming on next week, a little look back or whatever. But as far as new content, that's the it. Normally, you know, we would have rolled right on through. But with the COVID thing and some other underlying factors, we were like, for the first time ever, we don't have a bank of shows in front of us that are already in the can. So that's going to be interesting to see what happens, but I'm actually excited about the technology and what you can do with, you know, the handheld devices and the iPads and what have you. I think we're going to see a drastic change in the way reality television is shot in all genres, but also I think it's going to bring it a little bit faster to you and more in the forefront and what's going on. You know, in theory, you know, I could film, you know, buying a big nest of cars or something, or breaking into somebody's barn and buying their prized rod, you know, on a Thursday, and it could be on a Monday, you know, edited and ready to rock and roll.
Right.
So I'm pretty excited about the future. I'm just ready to get rolling with it.
Dude, I know. Cabin fever. That's why I had to get in my garage and just tear it apart. I had to give myself something to distract me. All right, hang tight, Richard. We're going to take a little break here. Richard Rawlings from Fast and Loud, GasMonkeyGarage.com. You can find out more about him. He's got a lot to talk about here today. We're talking. He was just over having lunch with Dennis Collins, another one of our buddies. All right, this is The Drive. We'll be right back.
Sweet, but blood is thicker. The sky comes falling down for you. There's nothing in this world I wouldn't do. Hey, brother, do you still believe?
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Hear that? It's time for Dodge Power Dollars on Dodge Charger and Challenger, where you get $10 off per horsepower. So you can enjoy the sweet sounds of Dodge Charger RT Scat Pack's 485 horsepower and get $4,850 off. Or take it up a notch with Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye 797 horsepower and get $7,970 off. So come in for Dodge Power Dollars and get a great deal. Offer not available on leases. See dealer for details.
Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Our show brought to you in part by Brembo, the choice of champions, Brembo Brakes. And you can find them on the web, the interwebs, as Richard Rawlings calls it, at buybrembo.com. Richard Rawlings joining us, gasmonkeygarage.com on the web, and Fast and Loud on Discovery. Richard, we were talking about the, you just wrapped on the season, but now you've got time on your hands. So any interesting collections, or as you called it, nest of cars you've had lately?
Well, I tell you, you know, over the years, you know, we've found some pretty terrific cars hidden away, and we bought, you know, four or five at a time, you know, sometimes and things like that. But I can't let the full cat out of the bag just yet. But I have closed the deal. We're hoping that it's going to be a big Discovery-type special. But depending on how this COVID stuff goes, et cetera, it may end up being a large web series.
Ooh.
But I'm calling it tentatively Richard Bets the Farm by Buying the Farm. And this collection is a lifelong collection of a really, really cool old cat. And when I say elderly, he's probably 78, but he's sharp as a tack. And he's been collecting some of the coolest stuff forever. And when I say a large collection, we've got, oh, I don't know, probably 20,000 square feet of buildings, of 200-plus motorcycles, 130-something cars, tons of memorabilia, signage. I mean, it just goes on and on forever. Something for everyone. It's a really amazing property, and I ended up buying every single thing intact the property. So literally, you know, he's taking his personal possessions and going to his other home and auctioning it all at once, kind of a Gas Monkey Carnival, if you will, with an auction. And it's going to be a 3-day weekend. And you know me, I know how to throw a party.
Oh,
so
baby.
This is not going to be one of those boring auctions with the monotone voice going, 101, do we have?
Right. So
it's
wait a minute.
Fun.
So
it's going to be pretty wild.
You bought the property and everything? You bought the farm? Were you joking or serious?
No, I'm serious. Bought it all. And let me tell you, it's the largest single purchase I've ever made in my life. We're going to see how it all shakes out. But there's some really, really cool old pieces in there. There's a 1942 Indian, I believe, four-cylinder that was on the production line when Pearl Harbor hit. Was it 41 or 42? I'm so bad at my history. And so it's rumored to be one of the last inline fours ever built by Indian. We've got cars from every genre. We've got motorcycles from every genre. We've got all kinds of signage, memorabilia, and just, it's unbelievable. It's probably 6,000-7,000 items in total.
Woo!
It's a lot.
So when are you shooting for this auction? I mean, it's got to be, obviously you got to wait until the world normalizes a little bit from this insanity, because you want to attract people. I mean, this is going to be a destination thing.
It is. It's going to be a big destination thing. I've already rented out pretty much the entire town, including a casino. And it was supposed to be at the end of June, and I've already had to move it to the end of July, and I think I'm probably going to have to move it again. So a lot of things up in the air, but I own it.
Wow.
And it's mine. Hopefully I don't have to pack up all of that stuff and bring it down here to Texas. I'm hoping to sell it there. But
Where's there?
I'm not saying.
No! Because I got to go rent a room somewhere so I can get a head start. So is there one thing in there you're going to keep? I mean, is there like anything at all that you could tell that you're going to keep?
There's really not. And the reason is I feel that I'm celebrating this guy's life and achievements.
Right.
And I'm celebrating, you know, his collection and what he was really into. And we're really going to focus on telling the story.
Yeah, you don't want to cherry pick it, is what you're saying.
I don't think it's fair.
Right.
You know, if I want something after it's all over with, maybe I try to buy it from the guy who buys it. But I'm not going to hold back anything.
That's wild. That is so wild. Well, you know what? We live in a different world now. I mean, technology. Matter of fact, in the next segment, we should talk about, you know, you touched on it a little bit, how technology is changing and it's speeding up the delivery process. And I notice you're doing a lot of little live bits and pieces that are going out there. That social media world really does enjoy when you talk to them. Because, you know, the nice thing about the mobile device is it feels very personal. If you send a message and it's you talking to the phone, you're talking individually to each and every person that's looking at it. That's what it feels like.
For sure. And we can get into it when you want to, because I have some questions for your listeners out there. I've ran into a couple of snags in my brain that I haven't quite ironed out yet, and I want to get some opinions.
All right, hold tight then. Let me take a break. Talking to Richard Rawlings. He's going to have the first ever Gas Monkey Garage auction. He bet the farm, and he bought the farm, and now he's going to make sure that this massive collection is available to us, the consumers, the car guys and gals of the world. That's what Gas Monkey Garage is all about, making sure that you bring the goods to the people, to the peeps. Gas Monkey Garage, fast and loud on Discovery, gasmonkeygarage.com on the web. When we come back with Richard, we're going to talk a little bit about technology, and he's got a question for you. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Drive.
The latest auto news, videos, and real-world reviews. Find us online at thedrivewithalantaylor.com.
If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance, plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever, the 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.
Well, you're listening to The Drive all across America and around the world. Today, my buddy Richard Rawlings from Gas Monkey Garage, Fast and Loud TV show on Discovery. And again, pretty exciting stuff, man. He bet the farm to buy the farm to have an auction. How many, you said thousands of pieces of memorabilia, motorcycles, and cars. That is awesome, dude.
And this is all nice stuff. This is not stuff that was sitting in the yard or covered in dirt. This is all in nice, clean buildings with, you know, they're all nice. Some of this stuff is brand new in the boxes. I mean,
wow.
There's literally motorcycles in this collection that are still in their crates.
Whew.
From the 70s and the 60s.
Whoa, man. All right, so you said you had a question. You had something that was chewing on you, like a splinter in your mind, and you can't get the answer. What do you got for our peeps?
Well, here's the deal. I've been doing this for, you know, 25-ish years now, and the internet came along. I was an early adapter, and now we're here with all this technology, and it seems like it's muddy in the waters. It's like some people are asking so much money for their cars because they've seen one sell at one of the big auctions.
Right.
And I'm like, they're like, I saw one that's like it sell for $100,000. And I'm like, no, that was a two-door. Yours is a four-door.
Right, you know? Right.
And whatever. But right. At the same time, I search the webs like crazy, and I'm always looking. And what I'm starting to find out is it's stuffed, especially, you know, your big ones, your eBays and your Craigslist now is starting to have this problem. And, Facebook Marketplace, even, you've got so many resellers, you know, these
flippers,
what do they call it?
Yeah.
Not just the flippers that buy a car and sell a car, but the guys, consignment guys.
Oh yeah.
You know, if you go on eBay right now, if you go on eBay Motors and do the classic cars or collector cars, there's probably around 13 or 14,000 cars listed. If you use your preferences and you get rid of all of the guys that are on consignment or the dealers, it goes all the way down to 1,800.
Oh.
You know, so we're talking about only one in every 7 to 8 cars is actually listed by an owner.
Right.
The guy that owns that car, or the weekend flipper that might own 3 or 4 cars and he's having it as a hobby. So you're seeing so much bloated inventory, you know, something that anybody would look at and know that car's not worth $15,000. But the poor guy that put it on consignment's paying, you know, $200 a month for storage and $150 every time they list it and a cleaning fee and everything else, and they're asking $45,000 for it, and they're never going to sell it,
right,
ever.
Right.
So these guys, God bless America, I'm for profit, but it's putting so much fodder in front of your face that you kind of get tired of looking for that real gem or that real diamond in the rough or that real owner and what have you. So what I'm interested from your viewers is where do they like to find their cars and find good cars and real cars that aren't, you know, consignment cars or dealer cars? And then also, what do they like about those sites? You know, one of the things I like best about Bring a Trailer is they let you leave comments. And if you read the comments, they're real good at getting rid of the riffraff and the people that just like to talk crap. And you end up learning something. You're like, holy cow, I didn't know they only made 1,400 of that car, and only two of them came in blue, and only one of them came with this motor. You know, so it's a good knowledge base. And I've kind of got it in my head somewhere where I'd like to build a platform that gets it back to, you know, what cars are all about, what people are really looking for, and having knowledgeable people on there. Because I think we're, as a society, are way over the whole, you know, oh, wow, look at this new fun toy technology. And I think we've gotten over that. Now we need to get to the real nuts of what am I looking for? Where was it possibly at?
Right.
And, you know, so feel free, anyone out there, to comment. I'm going to send it into info@gasmonkeygarage.com. I'll be reading all that. I'm going to be doing some live features next week talking about it and talking about some of the results. And as always, I'm always looking for cars and collections and what have you. So I'm a cash buyer.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. See, he really is a cash
buyer. I'll show up. And I've got nothing to do right now but jump in my truck and trailer, which I have with me right this second.
I can hear you driving, yeah.
And go get a car, too. There is literally nothing else to do right this second.
You know what? You mentioned Bring a Trailer. I used to like it more than I do now. I've tried to put a couple cars on there, And they are so selective. Yeah, it's like they're like, nope, it's not what we're looking for. I'm like, good Lord. But maybe that's the filter that you need, is that somebody is looking at what is being posted on there. And if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, maybe it is a duck. And they're like, nope, not what we're looking for. So that to me that's important.
I think what we're really looking for, what I've kind of got in my head is a different kind of platform. It's a combination of all the good of everything that's going out there and getting rid of the bad and the riffraff and the fluff and finding those good stories. I mean, without the real cars and the real owners and the real barns and garages and what have you, Fast and Loud would have never came about.
Totally.
You know, Fast and Loud's not going to be a cool show if I go to some consignment guy that has 18,000 cars across America and 30 warehouses, and buy it off his floor. That's not Fast and Loud. It's not going to make the viewers happy. So, we've got to keep finding those stories. And everybody says, it's so hard to find. There's no 32 Fords in garages anymore. Oh, yes, there are. I found one just the other day.
My brother-in-law found a 40 Ford convertible in Texas in a garage, and it was like, $4,500. And he flew out there, rented a U-Haul enclosed box trailer, put it in there, and drove all the way back to the Pacific Northwest. So they are out there. But it takes, guys like Richard Rollins to find them. And you got to look hard and you got to look fast and loud. GasMonkeyGarage.com. Don't forget info@GasMonkeyGarage if you have something to say to Richard. Just wrapped on a new season of Fast and Loud. GasMonkeyGarage.com. Richard, best of luck to you, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. All right. This is The Drive. We'll be right back with some more. Stay with us. But I know I'm about one thing I got to do. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Joining us right now is George Kennedy III. He's one of the co-founders of Cartender.com. And George, we were talking with Richard Rawlings from Fast and Loud and Gas Monkey Garage about how the industry is changing. And as a founder of a car shopping site, we should just talk about that for a minute. What do you think?
Yeah, man. No, absolutely. And he's 100% right. There are things where we're starting to change before this, but it's forcing the hand of a lot of changes. Cartender provides tools for dealerships like direct retailing, video walk-arounds, and all sorts of other marketing tools that help a dealer communicate with the customer better and help make a sale. And we came up with the idea in the first place because we wanted to see change in the industry. I come from an automotive journalist background. I still am an automotive journalist. And what I saw when I looked at what were the marketing videos that dealerships were putting together, there are a handful of companies that essentially make little stitch vid walk-arounds that are basically just a slideshow gallery of the existing photos in a robot voice blurting out all the features. I mean, I'm sure, Alan, you've seen some of these videos, right?
Yeah, where
it's just
horrible.
The whole Monroney sticker of like four wheels and seatbelts and a steering wheel, and that's not super helpful for a consumer, right?
Right, right.
The approach that we took with my content background, having been a video producer and an auto reviewer, is let's look at the features that buyers really care about. And, in 2003, including airbags and traction control, those were big deals, but those are givens in 2020.
Right.
What's new in 2020 is infotainment, Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, driver assistance features, lane departure warning, stuff like that, hands-free lift gates. All of these features, if you just blurt out 200 features in a one-minute video, they're just going to get lost in all that. It's so much more helpful and educational to the consumer to slow down and talk about 4 to 5 features that, you know, if you're buying a new car for the first time in 10 years, you might not even be aware that these features are on these cars. But an entry-level Toyota Corolla at something like $19,000 comes standard with infotainment, CarPlay, Android Auto, comes standard with a full suite of driver assist systems. So what we want to be able to do is break that down and not just educate the consumer, but help the dealer do a better job of communicating those things to a buyer in 2020.
So are you guys more dealer-centric in that case or consumer, or does it help the dealer to communicate with the consumer better?
It is. So we're largely dealer-facing, but our tools are being seen by consumers everywhere.
I got you.
You'll see our logo on videos on dealer sites and stuff like that. And what we're trying to do is just add another level of, you know, shine and education and promotion to what the dealers are already doing, basically empower them to help, you know, educate the customers to make the right decision.
Right, right. So, I mean, how did this all come about? I mean, what were you doing that you and your buddy, whoever this other, your co-founder, who's the other person?
Yeah, sure. So Colin Davis and I met at another video production company, and we had all these different ideas that were, you know, we thought this would be cool one day if we could do that. And then he continued to work there. I went off and started my career as, you know, a freelance automotive journalist,
right,
for the Boston Globe, Consumer Reports, Autoblog, et cetera, et cetera. And then he reached out and said, hey, man, let's do this. Let's step our game up. Let's step the game up of what's out there for automotive video in the space. And what's really cool is that because we're small and nimble, you know, I don't want to say really cool because we're sort of in a tough time right now, but what is unique is because of our size, we're able to respond quickly to the changing market conditions.
Right.
So every state is in a different situation when it comes to how sales are being done via either direct sales, remote sales. You know, some places might be completely open for business. We don't know. But what we want to offer are a bunch of different types of tools for dealers that no matter what level of open or not or precautions you have to take, we have the tools and marketing videos that help the dealers communicate that to the customer.
Right on.
So as we hear different states or at different levels, you know, we can really quickly turn around and produce stuff fast. And what's really neat is that all this stuff is automated. So once we set up a template for a dealer, we're not having to go out and produce a video every time they want to make the video. We have a computer system that has taken that and just adds new information every time.
Right.
If you had a legacy or a sort of old school marketing department do that, it takes a few days.
Yeah.
And what that's really important is, you know, if you think about monthly sales specials, you know, that $99 a month,
right,
every month,
right,
the dealer has to produce a new one of those every month because of the expiration date or different disclaimers.
Sure.
You know, that pumps out in about 5 minutes in our computer system, and it takes 4 days for a traditional production house to produce that similar video.
Cartender.com, if you dealers are listening, this may be a great tool for you. When you see a local ad for your local dealer and it looks local, it's not, you know, as well produced as it should be. It doesn't really drive you to get out of your chair and go do something. But when you see the pros do it, it's like, man, what a difference. That's what we're talking about here. There is the difference. The pros. Cartender.com. George, hang on. I want to talk to you about some test cars and stuff, and we'll be right back with more here on The Drive. On a night. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE-equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Talking to my buddy George Kennedy III, co-founder of Cartender, also a freelance journalist. He works for the Boston Globe, U.S. News and World Report, others. Of course, he's a correspondent for us here on The Drive. And,
hey, man.
George, you know, people probably think, Well, if he works for all these other companies, is he, what's he do? Is he a journalist or is he a business owner? Kind of both, right?
Does he sleep, right?
Yeah, right.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. How do you sleep, by the way?
Hanging upside down for about 20 minutes a night. It's great.
Right.
No, and that's a fair question, too, right? This is an automotive marketing company for dealerships and agencies, but I'm also working as a journalist. And how does that work? Well, I'm, you know, more almost an ombudsman, right? Where I'm the one that's keeping us honest. I'm the one that's making sure that our products are not just marketing products. They're compelling for the buyer. You know, if they stay engaged, if they stay educated, you know, we want to make sure there's no misinformation out there. We want to make sure that the video is of the right car. And it takes a car guy to know that. And
no, I'm going to make your point for you. I'll tell you why. Because when I first started working with Motor Trend about 1996 or 7, there's a late 96, I think, I started the radio show for them, right? And
yeah.
I needed an editor because I was out of town. And they said, oh, yeah, we got this gal. She's a really great editor. This is just for radio, right? And so I was at a car show. I sent my audio in overnight because that was the only way you could do it in 96. I overnighted the little mini disc, which is, you know, for those who are in the digital world now, everything you can transfer it in a matter of minutes. But so, you know, back in the day, she has to then take the mini disc, put it in the mini disc player, and actually play the audio and record it onto, you know, into the machine. It's like, it was such old school. It just makes me laugh. So when I finally heard the interview I did, it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible because she cut it down for time. So here's your point. She cut it down to make it fit the segment. And it, you know, because sometimes people say, well, the segment is, you know, 5 minutes, or in your case with video, it's probably, you know, a minute and a half. But what happened I would ask a question to this automotive designer about the exterior design of the car. And then when he answered me about how ergonomic the switches were on the dashboard. And it was like, what happened right there? There's a big chunk missing. Oh, no. And then so I call the network and I go, what happened? And they go, well, it was like a minute too long, so they had to take a minute out. And I go, but I asked the guy a question and she removed his answer and she put the wrong answer in. And so what happened was, I was like, does she even have a driver's license? And the guy goes, no, she didn't even understand.
I
mean, it's right?
I often lament as a journalist, and that is, you know, when there is an earthquake, you talk to an earthquake specialist. When there is a health epidemic, you talk to health specialists.
Right.
And then when something automotive happens, like I had to cover the Takata beat for Consumer Reports, the news often reports it and doesn't get it right because they're not automotive experts. And they think, well, you know, I see cars all the time. I drive a car. I know what I'm talking about.
Right.
Just because you spend time in it doesn't make you an expert. And so I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, you need the lens through which to make sure that this is being covered in a proper manner.
Right. And so I totally get that. All right. Well, that, you know, because that was kind of one of the questions I had. Actually, somebody go, well, if he's co-founder and this, that, and he's also working for all these, it actually gives you a much more well-rounded view of the whole thing, because you're also writing about, you know, stories about these cars. Speaking of writing stories about the cars, what have you been driving lately?
Yeah, man. I've been in the new 2020 Mercedes GLC Coupe.
Ooh.
Because coupes are SUVs now, right?
Wait a minute. So is it a two-door, four-door? Is it a hatchback? What you got?
It's not a two-door, which is drawing my ire. It's a four-door fastback SUV.
How do you call it a coupe? A coupe is supposed to be a kind of a two-door, isn't it? I mean, that's what I was taught.
I know. At least BMW with the X6 and X4 have opted not to go that route. With Audi, they have their fastback or their sportback. Mercedes and Porsche are going the coupe route. And, you know, Mercedes almost gets a pass for it. I think Porsche, it's unforgivable that the company who is founded around this one little teardrop coupe shape can call anything that's not that two-door sports car a coupe.
Right.
It's almost, it's felonious. Right.
So first of all, it's a smaller vehicle. I can tell by the numbers you gave me. You're a bigger man. How did you fit in it?
You know what? I was surprisingly, it was pretty comfy. And you know, you're absolutely right. So GLC is Gelandin Light Compact or something like that.
Right.
And what's funny, you mentioned the numbers being smaller. Mercedes and a bunch of other automakers a few years ago started disassociating engine displacement from, you know, from actual the numbers on the back.
Right.
You know, they're turbocharged, the small displacement. So yes, it, you know, it's a compact, fastback, sport crossover thing. Right. And I gotta be honest, the first time I saw it, I'm like, you know, I'm thinking in my head the GLC, which has a bit more of a squared off back. This thing has the fastback, and I'm, you know, it was just, it's a non-starter. But then I see it in person, and it all really starts to click. And one of the ways it does that is you kind of have to take away the, you know, think about it as almost like a high-riding fastback sedan. And then you start to see the belt line continue from the side mirrors into the back and continue into the rear spoiler. And once you see that, it really clicks, and you start to see this really elegant shape, if you could, you know, say so for an SUV like that.
Right. And the thing is that, you know, design is so important. These body lines are so important because they catch the eye. And, you know, I do all kinds of construction and stuff. I have a couple properties, and my people that work for me, they go, I've heard you had an 8-pound eyeball, which means I've got a very discerning eye, which I do. So when you're talking about these body lines, they do make a big difference to me. When I first saw the Toyota Supra, the new 2020, I thought it was hideous. And the reason why, it was the color of the car. It didn't pick up the different body lines. But when I saw it in different colors, it changes everything, because once the body line shows or doesn't, in some cases, it starts to look better or worse. And I actually ended up buying one, because when I saw it in black, I was like, oh dear, that looks good. Now, am I glad I bought it? I'm not sure yet. I've had it for a little while. I like it. It's got some issues. You should interview me on my Supra, by the way, when we come back.
Yeah, right. We'll do a little role reversal
yeah,
here.
Yeah, exactly. Let me ask you, first point, of all, how much was that Mercedes? Ahead. How much? Just curious.
So here's the thing. Starting price, $50,000.
Oh,
sticker
dear.
Price, $62,000.
Oh, my gosh.
$12,000 in options.
All right. Hold tight. Hold tight. Let me take a break. When we come back, you can ask me. I'll give you a one-minute rundown on my Supra. Talking to George Kennedy. You can check out cartender.com on the web. He's co-founder of that. He also works with Car Gurus, Boston Globe, U.S. News and World Report, a bunch of other ones, too, that we talk to most of these folks on this show. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Drive.
There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Hear that? It's time for Dodge Power Dollars on Dodge Charger and Challenger, where you get $10 off per horsepower. So you can enjoy the sweet sounds of Dodge Charger RT Scat Pack's 485 horsepower and get $4,850 off. Or take it up a notch with Dodge Challenger SRT Hellcat Red Eye 797 horsepower and get $7,970 off. So come in for Dodge Power Dollars and get a great deal. Offer not available on leases. See dealer for details.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
And our show is brought to you in part by Subaru and the new Outback. Go where love takes you. You know, their slogan before, and it still is actually, love, it's what makes a Subaru, Subaru. And I love that company, and I appreciate them for many, many years sponsoring the show. They make great cars. Just ask somebody that owns one. George Kennedy joining us. He's driving a Mercedes-Benz. I own a Mercedes. Actually, I have a Sprinter motorhome too, made by Itasca, and I have both of them are diesel. I like the Blue Tech diesel, and you love them and ride them until they break down, and then you're like, oh my god, what am I gonna do now? You get an extended warranty if it's used, that's what you do. But one of mine is got, it's too old, it's 100,000 miles, 2011, breaks down every now and then. It's like, oh geez. But they're wonderful machines, you know, as long as they're running right. But anyway, George, again, give the vehicle you're driving is a CL, what is it again?
GLK.
GLK. Coupe. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. And I will say really quickly that I think that we talked about design. I think that Mercedes does this car a disservice by calling it the GLC Coupe and not calling it a different model name. Because it took me a while to see the light on the styling of this car because I was always comparing it to the regular SUV version, and I didn't see what they wanted you to see.
Is it right? It's kind of a crossover machine. I should just Google what it looks like so I can see it.
Yeah, it's a fastback SUV. Yeah, exactly. With four doors, I might add, which is very not coupe-like, but it does have that kind of fastback teardrop shape to the rear.
But it's the smaller of the SUVs for Mercedes-Benz.
That's correct. Yes. Yeah. And, small or not, it's got one of the best interiors of any small SUV. Mercedes as a whole has been hitting it on all cylinders. Audi and BMW, they almost have very similar interiors. They're very tech heavy.
Right.
They're almost, mechanical and cold. Mercedes interiors are just these warm, welcoming, unbelievable. It's just better than anything else in the market, I think, from an interior standpoint.
All right. I'm looking at it, by the way. It's definitely got that, how do you say it? Kind of hatchbacky look going on in there. Personally, I think had they carried that roof line kind of back and then let it drop down more, more square in the back, I think it'd been an awesome machine. I'm just not big on these, but you know what? BMW makes one of these too, the same hatchbacky
thing.
The
X4, yeah.
Yeah, and I just it doesn't do anything for me. I don't know why, but again, you got to live in one for a little while, but you ended up loving on it, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't love it. What I will say is that in normal driving, there was a lot of turbo lag, and the stop-start system is very pronounced.
Yeah,
so, unless you put it in manual mode with the paddle shifters and turn off the stop-start, it's a really herky-jerky motion sitting in traffic. But once you're moving and you're using you're in sport mode and you're using the paddle shifters, this thing really moves, and it's this perfect combination of driving dynamics, performance driving dynamics, and also being a very soft, comfortable ride. Usually it's either super soft and you're floaty like a Buick, or it's dialed in and you're having your fillings rattled out. But this seems to be the best of both worlds. And, as a driver's car, it's no M3 or M4, but it's a really rewarding car for what it is. It's got a bit more cargo space than, just say an average sedan or something like that. So, it's a decent car for maybe road trips or commuting.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that kind of wants to be an SUV and it wants to be a car and it wants to be a hatchback. And it's, put it this way, go take one for a test drive. If you're looking for something like that you just don't want an SUV and you don't want a car and you want that crossover machine, this one, it's a GLC Coupe. From Mercedes-Benz, looks like a nice option. But again, you got to want a Mercedes for about between 50 and 60 grand, depending on how it's loaded. All right. Do you want my 1 minute on my Supra?
I do. I've been waiting to hear this, man. What's your take now that I've driven it, you've driven it, you've driven it more? What's the deal?
So I've only got 1,200 miles on it. And most of it was I drove it from Barrett Jackson, Arizona, back to Oregon where I live, which is 1,200 miles. I noticed something that they have just recently written about in Road and Track, which is when you have the windows down, it buffets. It gives you this buffeting.
Oh, you're just learning about this now?
Well, it did it to me, and I thought, oh, that's weird. And I just kind of rolled the window back up, and it was not a big deal. But I don't know. What are they going to do to fix that? Other than that,
I discovered that the first day, and it's brutal.
It is bizarre, and I don't know what they're going to do to fix it. Other than that, I think it's a fantastic car. But, and there's that but, I think they need to figure out what kind of a fix they can do for that. Removal
they
of a baffle
either an extraction vent out there, and this would be a lot of work, but you take that, the rear window has to almost pop open a little bit to let some air out.
Otherwise, you're stuck.
And guess what? By the way, I have to point out, this is what happens when you take a car that was designed to be a convertible and you throw a roof on and don't design it from the start to be a coupe. All right.
Look, other than that, I love it. So, but more on that later. George Kennedy, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, man. Take care.
All right. That's about it for this week. Go out and have a great weekend.
If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new Best Outback Ever, the 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.